5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. There you go. It is Tuesday. It's kind of toasty, 80, 81. More thunderstorms rolling through. Again, the thunderstorms simply with us the evening, the overnight, well into the morning commute, they're saying. So you'll want to be aware of that. And another good reason to tune in first thing tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. Coming up in about a half an hour, buddy of mine, Ryan Hudson. Ryan is on the Hanover County Board of Supervisors. And I am curious to know about the water issues that are still being discussed. I want to know about these pay raises. The Hanover County Board of Education voted to increase their own salaries. They doubled them, which is kind of neat, but I'm thinking there's got to be some sort of a backstory. So Ryan is going to join us at 5:35. And while I am talking about Hanover County, my beloved Hanover County, the greatest place on God's green earth. And again, I remind you, we are all filled up. We have no more room. You can come and visit. We're happy to have you visit. And leave some money here, please. And then get out. That's all. John Badeski, who, once again, for my money, my tax money, the best county administrator anywhere. He is today celebrating his fifth anniversary, 5 years as the county manager for Hanover County. And I know you got other counties, other municipalities trying to steal him all the time. So we are very, very fortunate to have him here. He is a good, good guy. There's some sort of a decision coming down in the P. Diddy criminal prosecution. We don't have the details as of yet. When we do, I'll pass them along. Some sort of a, quote, partial verdict. What did the trial prove? I didn't watch a lot of it. I've read some of it. I think it proved that he's an absolutely reprehensible Delta Bravo, a horrible human being, and a, what's the technical term? Dirtbag. Yes, dirtbag, I think, would be what Delta Bravo stands for, just so you know. But I don't know if that means he's guilty of RICO. Was he running a criminal enterprise? That I don't know. I didn't pay close enough attention. I don't want to lie about it. But we will see exactly what happens. And we'll join that live. We have the federal prosecutor is going to be out there. Germ, I just sent you a phone number, and you need to call that ASAP. I repeat, ASAP, and get my friend Mindy booked ASAP. If we've got room tomorrow, we got room on Friday Eve, that would be a great place to put her. I've told Mindy's story a couple of times on the air. And again, she's legitimately a friend. So there's some new developments in the matter, and we need to get her back as soon as possible there, Germ. Taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Ken in Chesterfield says, Mr. Katz. Oh, just call me Jeff. Mr. Katz, a friend had two hard drives crash with no backup. He sent both drives off to data recovery vendors. In both cases, most of his data was recovered. I hope your results are the same. Thank you, Ken. I, too, hope that that is exactly the case. 804, wow, Jeff, Richmond is just a den of thieves, aren't they? Hearing now about the fuel card mess. It just doesn't end. It doesn't end. Every time you think you have heard the latest, biggest, worst scandal of all time in the city of Richmond, somebody there at City Hall says, here, hold our non-drinkable water. And then they come out with another one. So what's the latest one is the gas card scandal. God. Different 804. Jeff, fake news right now melting down over President Trump visiting alligator Alcatraz. Yeah, he's down in Florida. Was it 8 days? Governor Ron DeSantis and his team put together this this holding facility for illegal aliens. Going to make the state of Florida huge, huge money. 804, Jeff, listening to you talk about your emails from the ARC of the United States and the Virginia Nurses Association. The whole idea is just to create chaos, destroy our faith in every institution, family, church, academia, government, one big psyop aimed at the willfully ignorant, misinformed, and brainwashed masses. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. 757 says, Jeff, hearing that email from the Virginia Nurses Association about, quote, underserved people, I had to drive 25 miles to my doctor. Does that make me underserved? Well, I would say no. But who knows? Who knows? How do you decide that? Hey, Jeff, 804 says, oh, it's Walt. Walt says, Jeff, we need to pray that the representative states actually understand what they read in this bill. Talking about Congress people, the way that they can vote, help people take care of U.S. citizens. Well, fair enough. Debbie from Midlothian says, Jeff, I'm a nurse that works with children. I've never understood why many special needs kids are sent to school when they are unable to follow, learn, and take the test that proves retention of subjects taught. It seems it is a school-sponsored daycare. Well, I think it depends on the child. And that's what IEPs are all about, individualized educational programs. Every special needs kiddo has one of those, and let me tell you, it becomes your owner's manual, your operating manual, your SOP. Some children are absolutely capable, with some assistance, of being in a more traditional classroom. The law calls for the least restrictive situation. How do we define that? Well, that depends, I suppose, on who is defining it. I'll give you an example. Some kids are kind of on that bubble. If you were to meet Julia, number one, you would just be impressed with how unbelievably beautiful that girl is. You really would. You go, oh my God, what a cutie. And then after about, I don't know, an hour or two of just fawning all over her and realizing she's a sweetheart, then you would say, right, she is disabled. Right? She is definitely disabled. She is definitely in the special needs category. There's not really a bubble for Julie. It's really easy. Right? She's 22 years old chronologically, but developmentally she is 18 months old. So that's an easy one. But what if you have some other sort of a situation, and there are people, and it happens all the time, I know this, people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that kid. Why the hell are we spending money on him for special needs? Or she doesn't have any issues. I mean, come on now. And you say, well, a few things you may not see, a few things you may not understand. So I just don't think it's that straightforward in a lot of cases. Again, some cases are easy. I think that that's one of the reasons we've never really had any bad experiences with Julia's teachers or therapists through the years. Because it was never a question. Nobody in any school division anywhere said, well, you know, if she was just focused, that wasn't ever a thing. But there are kids in that situation. And there are a lot of school divisions, unlike Hanover County Public Schools, that really, really cares about the kids. There are other school divisions, I know, that are looking at the bottom line, looking at dollars and cents. Oh, my God, we got another special needs kid. You know how much money that's going to cost? Nah, stick him in a regular classroom till somebody complains. It happens. I wish it didn't happen, but I'm just telling you, sitting here having been through it, it happens. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 520, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Coming up, just a couple of moments, about 15 minutes, Ryan Hudson's going to join us. Ryan is a good dude. Ryan is someone I served on the Hanover County Community Services Board with for a long time. And he's a fascinating guy. I mean, honest to goodness, you learn about his background and various and sundry professional endeavors that he's had through the years, and you go, wow, that's neat. And his latest service, because he's all about service, I learned that on the CSB with him. He is a member of the Hanover County Board of Supervisors. He represents the Mechanicsville District, and he's going to be with us. I want to find out more about what's going on with the water situation. I want to know about the Board of Ed and this doubling of salary, all that good stuff. So he'll be with us at 5:35. My friend Mindy Applewhite is going to be with us, and looking forward to that Thursday at 5:35. Mindy, career law enforcement officer. She lost her beautiful, beautiful daughter a couple of years back. Her daughter had her whole life together. Let me tell you something. Her daughter was doing exactly what any mom, any dad would want our children to do. Right? Had gotten married, had achieved the highest level of success in her chosen career. She was a nurse. She had just completed her doctorate in nursing. And then she got hit by a car driven by someone who should have been locked up, was not in prison where they belonged. Mindy, did I mention this? Career in law enforcement, parole, probation. So she's got a lot to say about it. She'll be with us. Do we have enough time here to sneak in this John Oliver? John Oliver just cannot, for the life of him, figure out exactly how Medicaid is supposed to work, or he knows exactly how it's supposed to work, but he doesn't care. Cut number one.
Also, the math just doesn't support those claims. As one analysis puts it, major Medicaid cuts are the only way to meet House budget resolution requirements. And the big way this bill tries to do that is by adding work requirements for many low-income recipients who got coverage under Medicaid expansion, effectively removing a lot of them from the rolls. Basically, under the bill, to get Medicaid, they'd have to prove they worked, volunteered, or went to school for 80 hours a month. That alone is projected to cause over 5 million Americans to lose coverage by the end of the decade. Though to hear Mike Johnson tell it, that's just not a problem, because they're just targeting one specific group.
You don't want able-bodied workers on a program that is intended, for example, for single mothers with two small children who's just trying to make it. That's what Medicaid is for, not for 29-year-old males sitting on their couches playing video games. We're going to find those guys and we're going to send them back to work.
Okay, 29-year-old males sitting on the couch playing video games? How is it possible that Mike Johnson always sounds so old and out of touch while also managing to look like a 12-year-old who dressed up as Stephen Colbert for Halloween? The problem with that argument is that most Medicaid enrollees are working. The most recent data shows that nearly 2 in 3 work. And most of the rest have a disability, are caring for family members, or are attending school. And yet, Republicans won't stop painting lurid scenarios of Medicaid freeloaders.
Well, Mr. Oliver, even you are acknowledging that 1/3 of the folks who are receiving Medicaid, these are your numbers, not mine, are not working. All right. When you look at the fraud that is in place in a lot of these programs, then you will see there's big numbers in terms of dollars. Now, you want to paint this picture because you, without any regard for the American people, because, well, I just don't think you have any regard for the American people, you think it's thoroughly appropriate for illegal aliens to be on those rolls and receive services, and you also seem to think, even though you're joking about it because you can't actually address it, that it's okay for, well, as an example, a 29-year-old able-bodied guy who chooses to stay home and get that money, get those services, and chooses not to work. We disagree. We disagree. If you are capable of work, you're capable of attending school, you are able-bodied, asking you to work for 80 hours a month or to go and find some sort of an educational program, a vocational training program, again, 80 hours a month. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would tell you, sir, that these requirements are actually less than those that then-President Bill Clinton heralded when he was pushing work, not welfare, many years ago. Just think about it. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Always interesting to hear from the state senator from Prince William. The whole idea of therapy involving actual therapy, and the senator there is all twisted out of shape. Why? I mean, it would seem to me, if in fact your argument is that no amount of therapy would change, quote, who you are, whether you are gay or straight or what have you, okay, well, then no amount of therapy will change it, so there's absolutely no threat, as I can see it, from such aforementioned therapy. What it does do, however, is to silence people who have opinions and thoughts and practices that are based in counseling. I think it was outrageous when they banned it in the first place. I'm happy to hear that it's back. And this idea that somehow Jason Meares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, is a bad guy for not defending that ridiculous law. Sorry. No, Jason Meares was absolutely right. Oh, and this evening up in Fairfax, as you know, Jason Meares, John Reed, and Winsome Sears are all going to be on stage together. Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be there as well. The big GOP unity rally. I'm happy to see it coming about. And after it's done, my suggestion is everybody goes their separate ways, because each of those candidates on their own can cover way more territory in Virginia than all of them together. Right? Honest to goodness, we have such a big state. Major population, get out there, get it done. We really do have a Commonwealth to save. I am curious to know what the developments are in terms of water discussions and pay raises here in Hanover County. Ryan Hudson is the Mechanicsville District Representative on the Hanover County Board of Supervisors. Good guy. We've known each other a long time. Happy that he's joining us. Ryan, thank you for being here.
Jeff, thanks for having me back.
It's good to hear your voice. Bring us up to speed on all of the water discussions. I know that Hanover was, I guess, having discussions with Henrico. The city had conversations with Henrico. Where are we, and what sort of progress have we made?
So the last two meetings that have taken place, I have not been privy to directly. However, I can speak to first the meeting that was held by Governor Glenn Youngkin, where he got the folks from Hanover, Chesterfield, Henrico, the city of Richmond, all in the same room. Our John Badeski, as you mentioned, celebrating his five-year anniversary with us today, and our board chair representing the Cold Harbor District, Michael Herzberg, were there for that meeting and did an outstanding job representing the citizens of Hanover to make sure that we were clear that this was a top issue for the administration of Hanover County and for the Board of Supervisors. And then to speak to the meeting that occurred on Monday between the City Council, the mayor of the City of Richmond, and the Board of Supervisors and public utilities directors, respectively, from each municipality, and of course, their county manager in Henrico. Probably like you, I've been reading the articles, and I thought that the folks in Henrico did a great job displaying leadership and not only speaking for their own constituents directly, but for our shared constituency as a region. I'll give them praise for that. I appreciate that. So where are we in Hanover? We're doing a couple things. We're looking at, developing our own water source, a reservoir for the Pamunkey from the Pamunkey River. Mm-hmm. And that is obviously a long range plan. But then out of our meeting that we had with Henrico, we are going to be working collaboratively to develop a way for us to be able to purchase water in the event of an emergency from Henrico. Henrico has been allowed now to release more water from their tremendous reservoir that they have up there in Cumberland. So we're really multifaceting with some things. And also, you know, we had our little snafu with the water main break up at the Doswell plant that caused King's Dominion to shut down for a day or so. And boy, I tell you what, you know, Jeff, if that sort of thing had happened at any other time, probably would not have been much of a blip on the radar, other than we've got to get it fixed as quickly as possible, which obviously they did, and our people were there and acted and got things up and running and communicated. And actually there was, I'm going to say, around 20 homes that were affected, hand-delivered water to each home with a letter explaining what had happened and that sort of thing. So it was just one of those ugh, not again kind of things that happened. But, you know, the citizens of Hanover can be rest assured that our engineers and administration and Board of Supervisors are working as fast as we can to get permanent long-term solutions. And I truly do believe that we will end up with some sort of regional board, but what that looks like, some other folks are going to have to figure that out before we would get a formal presentation on that. So
it's interesting.
There you have it.
Because when we hear, particularly the mayor, Danny Avula, talk about it, he's talking about a regional water, I guess, advisory commission, or is that the other side versus an actual commission that owns and operates? So is that where we are with this kind of in the weeds?
Correct, yeah. So, yeah, you can set up an authority, which means that we have to take over some of their debt service. And I want to make sure, be clear, that I'm not an expert in the field. I'm going off of what I have learned and understood over the last 6 or 7 months. But where if we come up with an advisory board, then that will allow us to have a say over what's happening. I saw a quote from the Verina District Representative Tyrone Nelson out in Henrico. He said, currently, we're all just customers. And so therefore, they, being the City of Richmond, they have superior knowledge about their water treatment plant. And I have no doubt that the folks want to provide good, clean drinking water to the municipalities, to their customers. But as he said, and we have said, they don't represent my constituents in Mechanicsville. And nearly 100% of my constituents were affected, except for the very few that we have that are on still on wells. And we have some Aqua Virginia customers, but even some of those are hybrid systems where they're wells and they can turn on valves and buy water from Hanover County. So, so nearly everyone was affected. And so it is critical to us that we have transparency and communication and oversight, and that we can all work together as our citizens require of us. That's why we're here. That's why we've all been elected and appointed to administrative positions and things of that nature, so that we can represent our constituencies as best as possible.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know that I'm crazy as a taxpayer in Hanover County that I could possibly be in a situation to take on some of the debt service out of the City of Richmond, given what I think is not particularly great management or stewardship in the past in the city. But I guess we'll see that as it plays out. Now, and tell me about the Board of Education. Let me remind everybody, Ryan Hudson is joining us. Ryan represents the Mechanicsville District on our Hanover County Board of Supervisors. So I read this. The Board of Education voted to double their salaries. So let's dive into that. Is it true? What really happened?
It is true. And, you know, I love a headline. I've been listening and got taken on calls. But one of the things that I wanted to do when I come on your show is to help give context to your listeners. And that is that in Hanover, as you know, we overturned, if you will, three seats on our board of supervisors. And for the last, I'll say, since COVID, coming out of COVID, our board of supervisors has, that's the previous board and the current board, has worked very hard to make sure that our school board aligns with the people that elected us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they are conservative or liberal. A lot of people like to label with that. My own school board member, who is also named Ryan Martin, you know, he is a straight guy, middle of the road, doesn't have an agenda. He's there for the kids. So we've worked really hard to and made some changes or allowed to because I don't serve on the school board, so I want to try to articulate it properly. We made some changes on the school board that would have a direct impact on school board administration. And we feel that things are going in a very positive direction with those changes that have been made. And let's be honest, Hanover used to be Sleepy Town, USA. No one came to school board meetings. All of that has changed since COVID. And I will tell you that the Board of Supervisors, since we hold the purse strings, we had to first vote to double the school board salary. And along with that, we nearly doubled our planning commission salary as well, because they had not been, that had not been done since 2005 or 06. And this was something that was started very shortly. We had our finance team begin to look at where our boards and commissions are at across the region and the Commonwealth. I know you served on the Community Services Board, that $48.20 that we got after taxes a month, you know, none of us are there for our money. And I get the optics. The school board doubled their salary overnight. And I want you to know that there was discussion at length amongst the school board members. Do we want to roll this out in a phased manner? Well, let's talk about why that's not a good idea. Because we said in this last referendum, we don't want politics in our school board. Well, if they didn't have lump of money in one lump sum, next year could come around and we could say, oh, we've got, there's another project that we've got to take care of. So we know that we told you we were going to give you this money, but we've got to take care of this other thing. We're going to pull that money back. And we need to not have that sort of thing taking place. They are still well behind our neighbors, as they should be. We're not as big, but I mean, I can tell you there are many times my school board member is fielding way more calls than I am. And I field a lot of those same calls that he does. So I get it. In the internal discussions, we were very concerned about the optics, but in the end, it was decided that it was the best thing for a number of our boards and commissions to just rip the Band-Aid off and let's get it over with. And I can't predict the future, but given the 20 years since anybody got any sort of adjustment, another thing that we're doing with that, with that is really not with pay, but we're taking, like, now the Community Services Board in Hanover, we meet every other month. That reduces everybody's drive time, keeps the meetings more packed with information, allows the subcommittees, they meet in the interim between the meetings and that sort of thing. So not only is it some financial restructuring going on, it was also some restructuring of how these individual boards and commissions may meet in order to make them more efficient. So
all right, well,
doesn't mean that everybody's going to like the answer. I do will say that everyone that I've spoken to over the phone and in person, when I kind of let them know where we were at, they kind of get it, and that sort of thing. But the school board didn't kind of unilaterally just do that.
Right, right. No, and Ryan, I certainly made that clear on this program that because we do maintain an appointed board, this had to start with the Board of Supes. I think the only concern that I have moving forward, because I do think that the as you described it, the optics of it were terrible. They really were. They just were not good. But, you know, and look, you know me, and I love Hanover County, and I would do anything at all. I just don't think it looked good. But that being said, given that, as you point out, 20 years since any of these were addressed or adjusted, perhaps the next thing for the Board of Supes to do, rather than putting a future Board of Supervisors in the same situation, says, you know what, every 18 months we're going to address these issues so there's not that shock to the system. That's my suggestion. I'm not one of your Mechanicsville district constituents, but I love the county and I think the world of
it
you,
is
so
being
passing it along.
Yeah, I think it's something that will happen on a continuum because in a sense, we did kind of pay for the sins of previous boards. And a lot of times it was done. I mean, go back to 2008. Yep. Nobody got, you know, we didn't, the previous boards didn't change our property tax assessments and that sort of thing, and have kept them at the 81 cent level, all these sorts of things. And so everybody just kept putting it off. And another thing we want to be able to do is continue to get quality folks. Sure. I can't tell you how many people will ask me, you all have a 2 o'clock meeting. How in the world, talking about the Board of Supervisors, we have 2 o'clock meetings, yeah, which usually it's not the consequential or controversial things. It's usually reports and things that are required that we do, kind of monotonous stuff at 2 o'clock. But they go, does everybody on the Board of Supervisors not have a real job? I mean, I'm very fortunate that with my career, I can be very flexible and that sort of thing. So we want to be able to continue to get quality folks, and I just appreciate you. One, I love people being able to hear us say that we can still be friends and disagree and understand that the optics didn't look like or even feel good. I think that that's healthy for those of us that love Hanover, yeah, honestly, as I know we both do. So there you go. And, you know, always reach out. Have me back anytime. I'm always happy to. Like I said, I can only speak for one of seven, but I enjoy getting the word out to the folks.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, I appreciate you being here. And ultimately, it is about our county. We both love it. I give my congratulations to John Badeski on 5 years. Gang, I went way over. Why? Because I love Hanover County, and I can talk about it all day. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., please, please, please make sure you're listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.